Today we're turning a single Amen-style vocal texture into a proper drum and bass arrangement weapon inside Ableton Live 12. And the key idea here is simple. We're not just slicing audio because slicing audio is cool. We're doing breakbeat surgery. We're going to treat this vocal like a drum break, chop it into playable parts, shape it like percussion, and place it so it supports the groove instead of fighting it. If you've ever heard a DNB track where a vocal texture feels like it's woven into the kit, that's the vibe. It's not front and center like a lead vocal. It's more like a gritty human layer that answers the snare, fills the gaps, adds tension, and keeps the arrangement moving. So let's build this step by step. First, get your vocal texture into arrangement view on an audio track. This can be a breathy phrase, a chop shout, a vowel sound, a little chant, anything with some human character. It does not need to be a full lyric. In fact, shorter and more ambiguous usually works better, because in drum and bass, you want it to behave like rhythm, not like a pop hook. Before we slice anything, think about where this layer belongs in the track. If you're working on an intro, it can act as a rhythmic atmosphere. In a build, it can create tension. In the drop, it can become a tight chop top layer. In a breakdown, it can open up and get wider and wetter. Also, make sure your project tempo is right. Most modern DNB lives around 172 to 174 BPM, though darker or halftime leaning ideas might sit a little lower. If the vocal isn't already in sync, warp it first. For tonal vocal material, Complex Pro is a good starting point. If the source is more percussive, Beats may keep the transients cleaner. Now right-click the audio clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. This is the heart of the whole workflow. Ableton will create a drum rack with simpler instances on each pad, and now your vocal is playable like a kit. Choose the slicing method carefully. If your source has obvious consonants and hits, slice by transients. If it feels more like a loop, try 1/8 or 1/16. That gives you a more sequenced, rhythmic set of chops. Here's a small but important teacher tip. Rename and color your pads right away. Call one breath, one vowel stab, one chopped consonant, one reverse tail, one noisy transient. That kind of organization saves you later, especially in a fast genre where you're making quick decisions and need to move with intention. Now open the MIDI clip and start programming the chops. But don't program them as if you're writing for the vocal itself. Program them as if they're part of the drum groove. That's a big shift. A common mistake is to fill every gap with chops. In DNB, that usually kills the pocket. Leave room for the kick and snare. Let one slice answer the backbeat snare. Put another just before the snare as a pickup. Leave space after the snare so the hit can breathe. For a two-bar loop, a good starting point might be one sparse chop on the end of two, another accent just before beat four, and then a call and response idea in bar two with a rest on beat two so the snare can really land. Use velocity to create contrast. Main accents can sit around 95 to 120. Ghost cuts can drop down to 35 to 70. Transition chops can live somewhere in the middle. This matters because DNB grooves live on dynamics. If every slice hits the same, the texture becomes wallpaper. If you shape it like a drum part, it locks into the rhythm and starts breathing with the rest of the track. Now we go into breakbeat surgery mode. Zoom in and edit the note lengths. Shorten some slices so they hit staccato and punchy. Overlap a couple if one tail needs to spill into the next fragment. Duplicate a quick 1/16 pickup before a bigger accent to push the phrase forward. And every 4 or 8 bars, remove a slice or two so the arrangement has somewhere to go. That's the real secret here. It's not about one perfect loop, it's about small phrasing changes over time. A strong DNB approach is to make the vocal layer behave like a mini break that evolves every 8 bars. Maybe the first 8 bars are sparse. Then the next 8 get busier. Then a fill appears. Then the pattern thins out again so the next section can hit harder. Now let's process it. On the vocal rack or group, start with EQ8. Hike assets somewhere around 180 to 300 HC depending on the source. That keeps the low end clean. If the chops sound harsh or pokey, try a small cut around 2.5 to 5 kHz. If they need a bit more presence, a gentle boost around 1.5 to 3 kHz can help. Next, add saturator. A drive of around 2 to 6 dB is a good starting point, and soft clip-on is usually a good call if you want controlled grit. Then try drum bus or glue compressor. Drum bus can add attack and attitude, but don't go crazy with boom here. This layer is not your sub. You're after punch and density, not low-end weight. Auto filter is great for movement. Use a low-pass sweep in the build, or automate a darker filter opening into the drop. Keep resonance moderate so it adds tension, without becoming annoying. If the slices still need more of a drum-like feel, tighten the simpler envelope. Short attack, short decay, reduced sustain. You want these things to feel like chopped percussion, not washed-out vocal tails. Now bring in movement. The best vocal break textures evolve. Static chops get old fast, so automate filter cutoff over 8 or 16 bars. Send selected hits to echo for a bit of dubby space. Use reverb more in transitions and breakdowns, then pull it back in the main drop. Reverse one or two slices at the end of every fourth or eighth bar for a little lift. A really useful move is to resample the processed chops once the rhythm feels good. Print them to a new audio track that lets you crop the best moments, reverse individual bits, create stutters, and treat the result like an audio edit instead of a live MIDI idea. In arrangement terms, that's gold, because it gives you something that can be placed and shaped more like a break. For heavier, darker DNB, you can also put a short slap delay on a return, maybe dotted eighth or quarter note timings, then low pass the return, so it doesn't clutter the top end. Use the send only on transition slices so it feels intentional. Now we integrate this with the drums and bass. In a roller, the vocal chops can sit in the air above a steady kick and snare. In a darker minimal or neural-leaning track, you might only use them in call and response moments, so the bass line stays dominant. In a jungle-inspired section, the vocal can echo the chaos of the amen and make the whole thing feel unified. Think in sections. Maybe the intro has filtered sparse chops. The build increases density and adds reverses. The drop gets dry and tight, with chops answering the snare every two bars. Then the breakdown opens up again with more reverb and width. Then the second drop comes in with a more aggressive variation, maybe a different chop order and a bit more saturation. And make sure the vocal is not stepping on the snare crack or the sub-attack. If it is, carve some space around 200 to 500 HC. Check mono compatibility with utility. Keep the bass centered and disciplined, especially below 120 HC. Here's the bigger arrangement lesson. In drum and bass, momentum usually comes from small, controlled changes. You do not need huge harmonic shifts to make the track feel alive. A vocal break texture can be one of the elements that tells the listener, okay, we've moved into the next phase. So automate it. Every 8 bars, change one meaningful thing. Open the filter a bit. Lower the reverb send. Add a little drive. Nudge the level down by a decibel or two when the drums are busiest. Widen it in the breakdown. Narrow it in the drop. Every 16 bars, change the phrase shape or the FX character. Every 32 bars, introduce a new resampled variation. If things start to feel repetitive, try shifting one chop up or down by a semitone or two. Or duplicate the rack and make three versions, a dry mode for the drop, a filtered mode for the build, and a destroyed mode with heavier saturation and short delay for fills. That gives you fast arrangement options without constantly rebuilding the sound. A few common pitfalls to watch out for. Don't overslice it into total noise. Keep at least a few recognizable fragments so the ear can still catch the human character. Don't let the vocal fight the snare. If the snare loses its crack, reduce vocal density or carve a little more space in the upper mids. Don't pile on too much reverb in the drop. That's a breakdown tool, not a main drop default. And don't ignore groove. If the slices aren't interacting with the drum phrasing, they'll sound random instead of composed. Here's the quick practice move. Build a 2-bar vocal break phrase with 6 to 10 hits max. Make at least 2 ghost slices and 2 strong accents. Process it with EQ8, saturator, and drum bus. Automate auto filter over 8 bars. Then duplicate it. Add 1 pickup hit, 1 reversed slice, and remove 1 chop for space. Resample the best version and drop it into your arrangement. If you want the advanced version of this concept, think in response patterns. Put a strong hit on bar 1, a smaller answer on bar 2, a rest on bar 3, and a fill or reverse on bar 4. That makes the phrase feel written, not looped. And that's the big idea here. Treat the vocal chops like a drum language. Start sparse. Let the groove breathe. Use contrast as your main writing tool. Dry into wet, mono into wide, soft into aggressive, dense into sparse. Check the chops in context with the full drum and bass mix, not soloed. And always ask whether each slice is actually helping the arrangement. If it is, awesome. If not, mute it. That's how you turn one amen-style vocal texture into a proper DNB arrangement weapon in Ableton Live 12. Tight, gritty, responsive, and built to move with the track.